Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:14 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 19th. Well, this being Martin Luther King Day in the USA, that market is closed, but the futures are indicating that the markets would be down just a couple of points. Europe today opened up well in excess of 1%, but closed down over 1%, and Asia was also relatively quiet in here today. This has been a day in which the news has been dominated by the bank sector. In the UK, I think there's legislation being passed that will allow the Bank of England to buy securities, which is a deviation from the norm and is certainly a measure that goes well beyond the pale in terms of what would normally have sufficed to move the economy out of recession. So it's another indication that they're willing to take whatever moves are necessary to end the problems that we have in this sector and the potential for a Swedish type solution, and that is an indication to the type of solution that was put in place in the early 90s in Sweden, where the banks were nationalized. There was a bad bank was created and all of the bad assets were hived off into that one bank. Then the rest of the banks were recapitalized, and when they were in a healthy enough position, they were floated back on the stock market. There continues to be calls for that same solution to be implemented in the UK and in Ireland and in a whole range of other countries. And with partial nationalizations going on, or nationalizations in practice, if not in fact, having already taken place, we are not that far away from that, the acceptance of that as a reality. That may also help to explain the relative weakness of the banking sector. And in Ireland today, you saw that a lot of bank shares halved in value because they're following the nationalisation of Anglo-Irish Bank. They're now also talking about the nationalisation of other banks, and it would appear that that same type of activity is being at least considered in the UK. So we remain in very uncertain times, particularly for shareholders. Probably the holders of bonds will be relatively safe from the complete wiping out of their positions in this type of scenario, but there remains an incredible amount of uncertainty, and we certainly can't say for a fact that that bondholders are safe in this type of scenario. But there was, even though you had the stock markets closed today, a number of the US futures markets are open, and one of the really big movers is our 30-year treasuries. They're down over 3 full points today. So we saw on Friday that they rallied reasonably well off their lows, but gave up the entire advance in here today and fell even further. So they're down to 133, which is testing the lows that we saw early last week or late the week before. And it now puts in another point that as a touchstone that we can look at for these treasuries. We've had the high up around 142, and then there is the high that we saw 2 or 3 days ago. So now that's two lower highs, and we continue to see that bonds are encountering resistance near their highs. And you'll see that piece I wrote on Friday about government bonds. It was treasuries that led this move on the upside, followed closely by the Canadian bonds. And while all sovereign bond markets have had incredible rallies over the last few months, it was treasuries that showed relative strength at the beginning. And now that they are turning, if they led in, often when we see markets that lead on the upside, they will often lead on the downside. So this is a big warning bell for lots of other government bond markets that they could be topping out in this type of scenario. I wrote today about sovereign spreads in the Eurozone because it's not exactly every government bond market has rallied spectacularly, because there are a number of these individual Eurozone countries which in fact are seeing their yields spiking upwards quite significantly. And that is pricing in the relative risks of those countries, even though they're in the Eurozone and share the common currency and the common interest rates. There is very much a realization that that interest rate and the common currency may not be the ideal mechanism to help these countries through the global recession that we find ourselves in. And this is really the first big test of the euro. It's been going for 10 years, and this is the first recession it's had to face. So it will be very interesting. I'm personally not in the hyper bearish camp for the euro. There are quite a few commentators who believe that it has no business being in existence at all. I'm not really there, but I do remain skeptical of the ability of some of the member countries to remain in the euro throughout this whole global recession that we find ourselves in, and the longevity of the financial difficulties that countries find themselves in will probably be a key determining factor as to whether countries such as Greece can stay within the Eurozone. That will indeed be very interesting, and those spreads are very much they're well worth keeping an eye on. This was also a day where we saw oil down to 33.89 at one point, but is closing out the day around 34.50, down almost $2 on the day. We're still in very uncertain times, and really it's just what we can look at in the oil prices, say that the base building process has just begun, and that is going to be volatile. But over time, we can anticipate that oil will probably range more than trend for probably the rest of the year at least. In the past, at least, we've seen that when oil has had these massive spikes on the upside, it has taken a significant amount of time before it can garner enough of demand to support meaningful rallies. And that could well be the case on this occasion as well. Pretty much all the other markets were relatively quiet in here today. The precious metal markets were also relatively sanguine, silver down a couple of cents and platinum up a couple of dollars. Platinum was actually up at 975, nearly 976 earlier on today. We gave up almost the entire advance. It will be interesting to see whether it can sustain a rally tomorrow, because it is now starting to approach this psychological $1,000 level once more. And if it can sustain a move above that level, then I think a lot of people will be convinced that platinum has seen its lows for this reaction, and indeed it has fallen really a very long way. And relative to gold, it is also looking considerably cheaper than it has done at any time in the last decade. Looking at a couple of these currencies, we see that the dollar index was a bit stronger in here today, and continuing to range around this 84 to 85 level, and is testing the lower side of that top formation that we saw back in December. It would really need to take out the highs up around 88 to reaffirm its uptrend, and the potential still, I think, is in favor of this being right-hand extension following this type 2 top formation. And I think the risks remain to the downside for the dollar, but it could take quite a long time to get back down towards the low 70s. And I think over the long term, there is a strong possibility that we're going to see the dollar ranging between 70 and 90 for the foreseeable future. But that is my own personal opinion, and it will take a number of more months before that could possibly be deemed to be correct. So, with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.